I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. I hope wherever you are, you're in the best state of health, wealth, and spirituality, blessed with Allah's bounties, and filled with gratitude toward the wonders of life. In the studio with me, as always, I have the honor and privilege of being accompanied by a special guest and a darling sister, Sister Razia Shamini. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for joining us. Throughout these last few episodes, we had sort of like themed topics, like a series of episodes dedicated to certain topics that we could benefit from as Muslim ladies, whether it was the ladies of Ashura, whether it was...
As you call it, Ashura and ladies.
Yeah, exactly, or Ashura and ladies, or the different aspects of the Noble Prophet's life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we could learn from as Muslim ladies. And as always, you were creative enough to highlight his beauty routine.
That's very nice of you.
And I really feel that it's super creative because it's trending so much in today's world. But women need to draw inspiration from perhaps a more divine source rather than quote-unquote influencers on Instagram. What you have in store for us is yet another awesome, interesting, intriguing, captivating topic, and it is regarding the women in the life of His Eminence Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And interestingly enough, he dealt with a lot of women. Yeah, and in the most delicate, most considerate, generous way possible, that makes you think, well, how could anyone hurt this man?
And still he got hurt.
So where would you like to start off?
There are so many reasons why we have chosen to talk about the seerah or the conduct of the Noble Prophet regarding women, including his mother, later on his wet nurse. Later on we move on to his wife, first of all Lady Khadija, and then the other wives, and then his four daughters. Of course, the historian have dispute over how many daughters the Prophet had, and so on and so. And his wet sisters, aunts, because the Saudi Arabian Peninsula was a very interconnected society where, you know, at some point in history, he met them in the battles and he fought against their men.
Interesting.
And his treatment of them was very interesting.
Right.
How
right.
he showed... We're going to see how his conduct was. Was he appreciative of them? Did he hold them in esteem? Did he honor them? Or he said that, you know, no. Whoever they are, this is Islam, and I'm going to do this and that to them.
Interesting. This is very interesting. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands in regard with women in general and how he totally revolutionized a society that condemned women to death upon their existence in this world and thought of them as shame and thought of them as a taint on the family name and the prestige of their tribe.
Because one of the reasons was that once they were... defeated in a battle, these women were taken as captives, and so this was kind of considered as somehow shame and, you know,
dishonor to them.
Mm. That was perhaps one of the reasons.
But it's like, you know what they say in Persian, that an excuse that's worse than the sin, than the error itself.
Right.
Like, your excuse is that you, okay, I have to bury this girl alive in her infancy, because she's going to be taken as captive and tortured and God knows what else. But more of that after a short break, so stay with us.
is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the women in the life of His Eminence Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was it that you wanted to say before we went for a break, Sister Razia?
A couple of days ago, I went somewhere in the suburbs of a city, and I came across a couple who were living in a farm. And they obviously there, that kind of life entails having dogs to guard the land
for
and
sure,
everything.
Yeah.
And one of their dogs had given birth to 7 puppies. And she was telling me that one of the puppies was extremely weak and darker than the others, like not so much prettier in terms of, like, the other ones were fluffy and they had so much hair. This one was so weak and, you know, looked as if it was going to die. And then this lady, she said that we would see the mother taking the puppy to somewhere else, putting it in a kind of dig somewhere he had dug, and the dog. And we would get very upset, and, you know, we would think that the dog had abandoned the weak puppy.
Mm.
And then later on, we found out that because all the other puppies, all the other 6 puppies were stronger in, you know, being breastfed, and they would not let the weakest puppy to get fed. So the mommy would take it to a separate place and would individually attend to the needs of that puppy. I'm talking about the realm of the animals. In the Quran, we read that sometimes humans get worse than animals.
Yeah, exactly.
If a puppy mom, if a dog mom can be so tender-hearted, so emotional, so loving and so caring, that would attend individually to the needs of an animal, then imagine these Arabs at the times of Jahiliyyah,
they
would bury their daughters alive.
Exactly.
Just
because you're going to bring dishonor to my family name.
Subhanallah, that humans can become so much worse than animals.
Exactly. And that makes the whole argument, the whole probe that Islam is anti-woman that much more ironic. Because Islam dawned during a time in history where this whole civilization was keen on burying their women alive and destroying them and labeling them as dishonor and shame. And Islam came along and was like, stop what you're doing right now or you're going to burn in hell. Women are awesome. They're the manifestation of the mercy of your creator. Whoever has 1, 2, 3 daughters, they will have doors open to them in heaven.
Exactly.
Love your daughter first, hug her first, kiss her first, gift her first. She's a trust in your hands rather than a possession. And like fast forward 1400 years and a bunch of uneducated Westerners are going to pop up and say, well, Islam is anti-woman. And
exactly.
I'm like, how about you just stop talking? Right.
If I want to bring into our audience attention the verses in the Quran that you just mentioned, one of them is in chapter 16, verse number 59, that it says, and when the news of the birth of a female child is brought to any of them, his face becomes dark and he's filled with inward grief. He hides himself from the people because of the evil of that whereof he has been informed. Shall he keep her with dishonor or bury her in the earth?
Ya Allah.
Subhanallah. Or in another chapter, verses 8 and 9 in chapter 81, it says, and when the female infant buried alive shall be questioned. For what sin she was killed?
This is Muslim Lady coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We're going to be back after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again on Muslim Lady. We're in the studio with the darling sister Razia Shamili talking about the position of women in the holy, divine, and luminous life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sister Razia, you were pointing out the verses in the Holy Quran which describe the state of the barbaric, ignorant Arabs before the advent of Islam and how they labeled their baby girls as shame and dishonor, and how they were keen on taking her life before she could become a shame and dishonor for them, and how the Quran rebukes this foul action, condemns it, and then tells them that y'all gonna burn in hell.
And it's interesting that in some other verses of the Noble Quran, we read instances of oppression against the female sex in other verses.
Yeah.
For example, in chapter 6, verse number 139, it says, they used to believe that what is in the bellies of such and such cattle, like milk or fetus, is for our males alone. And forbidden to our females, meaning our girls and women, they, you know, whatever, if it's nice and alive and it, whatever is in the bellies of such and such cattle, and it is given birth to a life. But if it is born dead, then all have shares therein. He will punish them for their attribution of such false orders to Allah. Have you heard of this verse before?
I have. I've never actually looked into it to see what the practice of that time was, the society of that time, how they... But... Well, there are still societies around the world who do this.
Yeah.
Very primitive, tribal, sort of clan-based societies in, I don't know, Africa, in Southeast Asia, parts of Asia, that when they hunt an animal or a game and they slaughter it, certain body parts are specific to the men, certain body parts are specific to women. But I think what they're doing now, which is like a culture from like a kajillion years ago, is that the body parts specified to each gender is good for them. You know, like...
good for their health.
Exactly. And for...
so they have a reason, logic behind
it.
Right. But this distinction was merely for the...
Just
you're
to put
a woman,
them down.
You're a man, exactly.
You're a woman. You don't deserve to have fresh meat.
And then we are men. We're, we are entailed, you know, we have the right to have the, whatever is born of the cattle to us, whatever is in the bellies of these animals.
SubhanAllah, just comes to show how intricate the Quran was, and it paid attention to the smallest details.
We can do so much research on this.
Inshallah ta'ala, more of that on the next episode of Muslim Lady. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussion today. Until another salam and greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men. and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.